cripple starts walking, a blind man can see, a leper is cleansed, and a captive set free. A woman rejoices, her son did not die. All these things happen when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Gone were all the heartaches, the trouble and strife. Just reach out and touch him, and he'll hear your cry. And you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by. Now I was a beggar in the rags of my sin, wealthy without, oh so needy within. Then a king became my savior, his riches are mine. I became God's child when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by, when Jesus passed by, gone were all the heartaches, the trouble and strife. Just reach out and touch him, and he'll hear your cry, and you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by. Just reach out and touch him, and he'll hear your cry, and you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Green. And Brother Bob, you ought to try that a few more times. I like that. And we weren't getting a signal on the mic that Brother Green had, and my sound man was up there was going. And, hey, that's about the only way you can get my attention. Just jump up and down, scream. And so finally we got a mic that had a signal, and I'm glad that that happened. You just got to do what you got to do sometimes, folks. And thank you, Brother Shaddix, for bringing that to our attention. Take your Bible this morning, 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Now, while you're making your way there, this morning I've chosen for our passage of Scripture, 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through 7. Very interesting part of Scripture, very fascinating part of Scripture concerning the situation at hand. And you'll see that in our text passage and verses here in just a moment. 2 Kings chapter number 6, and we're going to read down verses 1 through 7 for the message this morning. Would you stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God? 2 Kings chapter number 6. Now, where we've arrived now in history, Elijah now has been promoted to heaven. The prophet of God, remember, he ascended to heaven on a fiery chariot, went back to be with the Lord, never experienced death. Boy, I sure hope I'm like that one day. I don't want to die. I don't know, I just got something about this thing of not breathing. But Elijah went back to the Lord, never experienced death before. And so Elisha, don't get them mixed up now, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was his a student. And if you'll remember, Elijah said, if you're there, when God takes me, he said, you can have a double portion, which is what Elisha requested. He said, Elijah said, ask what you will. He said, I want a double portion of your power. He said, all right, if you're there when I'm taken up, you can have it. That's the reason, folks, listen, he would not leave the man of God. He went everywhere he went. Why? Because he wanted what he wanted. Would to God that the people of God wanted the things of God as much as Elisha wanted the power of God, that they would do whatever's necessary to be in the house of God. Listen, the day that you choose not to be in the house of God will be the day that God comes down in a mighty way for your life to do something in your life and you're not here. Elisha said, I'm not going to leave the man of God. Well, you know how the story goes. Elisha was taken up into heaven. He left his mantle. And Elisha picked that mantle up and went back to the river Jordan, which the man of God had split just a few moments before. And he went back and took the mantle of the man of God and he smote the river and he said these words, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He said, I'm right here. There you go. He said, I answered your prayer. Well, revival now has taken place in the land because Elisha now has got the power of God on his life and people are coming to God left and right because of the man of God and what God is doing. And if you'll notice here in chapter number 6, as revival takes place, people are beginning to gather. People are beginning to surrender their lives to serve the living God. And they are beginning to gravitate toward Elisha, the man of God. You know, people always want to be a part of something that's going on, something that's happened. Nobody wants to be a part of something dead. They want to be a part of something that's alive. And listen, they could have gone anywhere else, but they went to the man of God. You know why? Because they had seen what God had done through his life. The hand of God was on him. Let's read it. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, verse 1, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait. In other words, it's too small, it's too confined for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he, that's Elisha, answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? In other words, where's the last place that you saw it? Where did you see it go? Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now I want to say something right here before I read this last verse. It did not say the iron float. It said the iron swim. The iron did swim. It did not float. It did not bob like a bobber. It didn't just float up to the top. No, it came to the surface and began to move and swam. Therefore, he, the man of God, told the young preacher, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now, this is one of the most most interesting and fascinating stories in all the Bible. An axe head that falls into the water and then begins to swim. You say, quite fascinating. Yeah, a lot of things surrounding this story I want to point out to you this morning. And I've taken this opportunity to read these seven verses because I want to preach to you on the subject, when the unexpected becomes the unspeakable. When the unexpected becomes the unspeakable. Father, would you bless us now in the short time that we have? Help me, I pray, Father, today to relay this story in such a way that when we leave this place, that our hearts will have been stirred concerning what you want to say from this passage. Now, Father, I ask you this morning, open the heart and spirit of the people under the sound of the preacher's voice, that, Lord, that still small voice of God would supersede my voice and do the work in the heart and the life of every person here. Every person's here on purpose. You sent them here, Lord, because you have a message for them. You have something for them in their life that you want to see magnified, you want to see changed, that you want to see glorified in their life. So I pray, Lord God, that your hand would be upon our time together today. Help me, I pray, as I speak the words of God, and we'll give all the glory and praise to thee in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, let me just relay quickly the story. Revival is taking place across the land of Judea, and a young man, in this particular case, was called to preach the gospel. He was called to the ministry. And not just him, but many were being called into the service of God. So guess what they were doing? They were looking for a place to go to college. They were looking for a place to go and be ministered to and be taught. Well, the logical place to go was the school of Elisha, because he was the one that was quite evident the hand of God was on. He had done some things and had proved his might. You say, like what? Well, we know that in the previous chapter that he healed a man of leprosy. And we know all the things. Remember the story of Naaman and the things there? And so Elisha had proved that the hand of God was on him. So these young preachers were wanting to go to a Bible college where the hand of God was on the man in charge. So they went to the Bible college of Elisha. And they found him, what many believe to be, in the city of Jericho. And he began to instruct them and teach them. Now listen, I doubt very seriously that he taught them on how to do miracles. You know what I think he probably taught them on? I think probably the main gist was how to walk with God. How to have a relationship with your God. You see, the power of God only comes upon those that have a relationship with God. And so he taught them how to have a relationship with God. And they gravitated to him and they began to honor him. They came to him one day and said, "Preacher, we just want to let you know the dorms are real crowded. We've got like 10 or 12 of us in a dorm where only 6 or 8 can sleep. People are being called out. We need to expand the facilities." So they came to the preacher, Elisha, and they said, "Preacher, do you think it would be a problem if we left Jericho and went down to Jordan, because there's a lot of lumber there, there's a lot of trees there, and we can go ahead and chop those trees and build us a school of the prophets. We can build us a place that's suitable for our needs." So they went to the preacher, and he said, "That's fine, go." So they said, "But wait a minute, now, would you come with us? Because we can't just go down and build a facility without the preacher there, right? We've got to have somebody that's going to come and instruct us, somebody that's going to come and guide us in the way of truth." And so Elisha says, "Okay, I'll go." So they get down to Jordan. And of course, you got to understand, they're young preachers. They don't have any money. But they know they're going down to build a facility, so they got to have instruments. They've got to have things, tools, in order to build the facility. So guess what they do? Since they don't have any money, they're young preachers, they go around and borrow the stuff. And they say, "Listen, do you have an axe? Do you have a saw? Do you have this, that?" And they begin to borrow items that they were going to need in order to get the job done. So they go down to Jordan and they begin to chop down the wood to begin the building project. By the way, this is a good sign for every young preacher. It's okay to work. Amen. You see, the preacher's job is not, listen, you don't just go sit in an office and stare out the window 8 hours a day. The preacher's supposed to work. And so they got down and they began to chop wood, and one preacher had an axe that he had borrowed, and he began to chop, and he reared back one time and swung that axe, and off goes the head of that axe and goes bloop down to the bottom. Now, immediately, he did what all of us do. He hit his knees and began to pray, "Father, help me today to be able to relocate that axe head so I can put it back on here and go about my business." No, he did the same thing that most of us do when we face a crisis. "Help me! Somebody! Help!" He panicked. Isn't it amazing how that seems to be our first response? Did you notice? But understand now, he was a young preacher. So he didn't fall on his knees. He was still young in Bible college. His first response was to push the panic button. "Oh, it's borrowed. Oh, what are they going to think? What are they going to do?" Never even crossed his mind to pray. But the first thing that crossed his mind was to yell for help. "Somebody help me." Well, let me ask this. What was somebody going to do? Dive down in there and get that axe head? He didn't call. Did you notice he didn't call any of the other young preachers? He said, "Master." He said, "Pastor, I got a problem." The pastor said, "What's the problem?" He said, "The axe fell off my axe handle." And he's standing there with the axe handle in his hand. He said, "I can't work. I can't do anything." He said, "On top of that, it's borrowed." The preacher said, "Come here, young man." He walked him over to the edge of the river and he said, "Where did it go? Where did you lose the axe head?" He said, "Right there." And listen, the preacher doesn't panic. The preacher doesn't say, he said, "Look, Let me take care of this. So he went and he cut down a branch. And he took that branch and he threw it into the river. And the next thing we see from Scripture is the axe head surfaces. It comes to the surface of the water and begins to swim. Now, I don't think it was swimming in circles. I don't think it was swimming away from them. You know what? I think it was coming to shore. I think it was swimming back to the young preacher. Because you know what? God was not against him. He was for him. And so the axe head begins to swim back to the young preacher. And the man of God says, okay, there's your axe head. Go ahead and pick it up. Let's get on with the program. Now listen to me. There's a lot of life lessons that we can learn from this. You see, there's a lot of things that we can learn. That day for that young man, the unexpected became the unspeakable. That day as he looked down in that water, he didn't really expect that axe head to come back up. He was just yelling for somebody. What am I going to do? He's just looking for answers. He didn't expect that axe head to come surface and swim back to him. Oh, come here. And he picked that thing up. Can you imagine when he got the axe head? Oh, I love axe heads. Thank you. He embraced that. Why? Because it was borrowed. It wasn't his. You see, for that day, for that young man, the unexpected becomes the unspeakable. Because I'm sure that he thought, I couldn't believe it. Isn't it amazing how we'll go to a prayer and we'll see God do some things that we know that is what He wants to do, and the next first thing out of our mouth is, I can't believe it. Well, why not? I mean, if God said it and He's able to perform it, why wouldn't you believe it when He does it? And so I want to take a look at some lessons to learn here from this passage here this morning. Go back, if you would, there in verse number 1. It says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go. The first lesson I want to look at this morning is this. Life will take you to many places. You best make sure it's the will of God for you. I said, life will take you to many places. You better make sure that it's the will of God for you. You see, everything in this situation seemed to indicate a move. Why? The facilities were too small. Everything outwardly looked like it was time for us to move. It's time to move on. And yet, listen, the thing about it is most of us will make a move in life, we'll make a decision in life, and never one time involve God in it. Never one time. And yet here, yeah, outwardly, everything it seemed like it was time to move on because of the circumstances and the situations. Well, let me tell you something. You move outside the will of God, you will regret that move maybe for the rest of your life. That's the reason that life is going to take you a lot of places. You better make sure that when you make a move and you make a decision, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's a decision concerning your family, your job, your kids, or your church. You better make sure that you move inside the will of God. And you better make sure that God's got His stamp of approval on your life before you do anything. You see, a lot of times what we do is we already make the decision and then we go to God and see if God will approve it. You see, instead of going to God and say, Lord, would you have me to make this decision? Would you have me to make this job change? Would you have me to make this church change? Would you have me? And God says, no, void. Well, I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway because you know what? I just think that's the devil talking to me, trying to keep me from doing this or doing that. Listen, you better try those spirits, my friend. You see, I'm saying life is going to take you many places. You best make sure that you are in the will of God. You see, people have made terrible decisions in their life when they moved outside of God's timing and they've suffered the consequences for it. Many, many times they've suffered the consequences of a decision that they've made in their family or in their church or in their business, whether it be financial or personal. And many times they'll go back in life and they'll find out that they had already predetermined what they were going to do. They just wanted God to approve it. They just wanted God to put the stamp of approval on it. And when He wouldn't, they did it anyway. You see, all I'm saying is these young prophets, everything outside looked like it was time to move, right? Everything looked and appeared, we need new facilities. We need to expand. So they went and said, Can we? It's too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. Now, I want to say this, number two. I said, first of all, life's going to take you to many places. You best make sure that it's in the will of God before you move. The second thing I want to notice here from our passage, our life lesson this morning, is this. Whether you take advantage of it or not, God provides spiritual counsel for you. Whether you take advantage of it or not, God provides spiritual counsel for you. From time to time, I will meet people that are anti-doctors. They just don't go to the doctor. Now, the thing about it is, doctors are available everywhere, right? But you're just going to have some people, they're just going to choose not to use a doctor. And that's their choice. Now, the thing about it is, there may be some today that have regretted that choice. Because the doctor had some answers, they had some medication, they had some counsel that they needed to help them in their life. But they said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go to a doctor, I'm just going to try to fight this off myself. And they became either more, and they began to get sicker, and they began to be more ill, because they did not go to the right source. Listen, at least when these young men decided it's time to make a move, at least they had enough sense to know where to go. They said, now, Preacher Elisha, we got something we want to present to you here. Things are a little bit cramped. There's 12 of us in a four-man dorm. We can't even move around. We need to expand the facilities. We need to move on. Can we go down to Jordan? That seems to be the logical place that we can go and build the facilities. Now listen, they went to the right source. And you know what the preacher said? That's fine. Go. Yeah, go. That's all right. You see, folks, God provides spiritual counsel for you whether you use it or not. It is available to you. Just like a doctor's available to you, or a lawyer's available to you, or an electrician or a plumber. All of these things are available to you. Whether you use them or not, that's up to you. But they are available. Why would we call people to come fix all of these things? Why would we call people to come and minister to our home and areas of need, and then when it comes down to the most important thing about our soul, we don't contact anybody? We just figure we're going to figure it out ourselves somehow. And see, there's some here today that's trying to figure out salvation yourself. You're trying to figure out, how can I get to heaven without going the way that preacher says go? My answer to you is, there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. Why are you trying to figure it out? You see, people, there are things available to you. Use what's available. God's provided spiritual counsel if you'll use it. You can't be afraid to seek help. You know, a lot of people are afraid to come to the preacher because they think, well, I don't want the preacher to know I'm a sinner. Huh? Are you kidding me? You don't want the preacher to know that you mess up? I got a news for you. He already knows that. You know why? Because he knows himself. He knows who he is. The preacher's not perfect. The preacher fails also. The preacher does things that he knows he's not supposed to do. Listen, you know what the thing about it is? When you come for counsel, he may not have the answer of what to do, but he may can tell you what not to do. Because he's done that before. That didn't work. You see, Elisha was the spiritual counselor in the lives of these young people. They had a choice to seek his counsel or go out on their own. They were young, they were immature, they were inexperienced. Hey, they had a lot of zeal, they just didn't have a lot of knowledge. The thing I notice here, they weren't afraid to go to the preacher. They weren't afraid to go to somebody that they had confidence in. It didn't even have to be the preacher. But you know what it needs to be? It does need to be somebody that's living for God. It doesn't need to be somebody that's in the same hole that you're in. To go get counsel from somebody that can't even direct you because they can't even get out of it themselves. Find somebody that God has given the victory in their life and pursue wisdom from them. You see, whether you take advantage of it or not, God provides spiritual counsel for you. Don't be afraid to seek it. Don't be too prideful, listen now, to ignore it. You see, sometimes you have to seek spiritual counsel and you have to swallow your pride and admit that, you know what, you are wrong on some things. You see, what we've got to understand, folks, is this. There's going to come a day where everyone will stand before a thrice holy God. You will stand before God in one of two judgments. If you're a child of God, you'll stand at the judgment seat. If you're not, and you die without Christ, you'll stand at what's called the great white throne judgment. But regardless of where you stand, there will be no excuses for your actions. Because everything will have been recorded. You see, what I'm trying to tell you today is this, that where we are today, it's an open book test, folks. I got good news for you. It's an open book. All you have to do is take the exam and turn the paper in. And then the Lord will one day say, okay, out, no. Hey, here's your reward. Wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, it's open book. Okay? Now some of you college students and some of you high school students and stuff, boy, you'd love to take an open book test, wouldn't you? But listen, you know what I found out? I found out some that take an open book test still can't pass it. Now let me tell you why. Let me tell you why they can't pass it. Because they don't know it. And the thing about it is you take an open book test, but if you don't know where the answers are in the book, it ain't going to do you any good, right? It's not going to do you any good. You see, what I'm saying to you is God has counsel. Don't be afraid to seek it. Don't be too prideful and ignore it. Listen, don't be foolish and not apply it. God wants you not only to read it, He wants you to make the application in your life. Don't be too arrogant and criticize it. Listen, folks, my dad taught me a lesson. If you've never tried it, don't criticize it. He said, you know what, Brother Garner, if you ain't ever tried deer meat and venison, don't criticize it until you try it. Some good stuff. You say, but I tried it one time and it's too wild of a taste. Well, you probably got a hold of something that wasn't cooked right. I'm here to tell you, I'm holding my hand the Word of God. It's cooked right. Hey, it's all right. And you can apply it and you don't have to have any fears whatsoever. So don't be afraid to seek it. Don't be too prideful and ignore it. Don't be foolish and not apply it. Listen, don't be arrogant and be critical of it. Just obey it. You see, that spiritual counsel could change your life and your direction. I'm just here to tell you, whether you take advantage of it or not, God provides spiritual counsel for you. Here's the third thing I notice here. Go down, if you would, and look at verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, Master, for it was... Does your Bible say borrowed right there? Here's the third life principle I want you to look at. Everything that you are and everything that you have in this life is borrowed from God. Everything that you have and everything that you are in this life is borrowed from God. I want you to listen to Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That pretty much covers the spectrum right there. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I will be is all borrowed from God. Nothing belongs to you. Boy, I tell you, you know what, one of the things that sent revival to my life a number of years ago is when I realized none of this belongs to me. It's on loan. It's borrowed from God. Listen, but I got some news for you. You're going to give an account of it, though. One of these days, you and I will give an account of your stewardship of those things which you were borrowed. Listen, that's why the preacher was so upset. Because eventually he was going to have to go back and face the guy that he had borrowed it from and give an account of it. And the thing about it is, when he borrowed it, it actually had an axe head on it. How would he feel if he goes back and takes that axe back and there's no axe head? He says, here's your axe back. What good is that? That's just a handle. I can't chop wood with that. Well, listen, I did my best. I did everything I could. It fell off in the river. Well, why didn't you dive in and get it? Well, that river's moving too swift. That's too rough. You see, everything I have, everything that I am is in this life is borrowed from God. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verse 7.
Paul said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." We came in with nothing. Guess what, folks? You're exiting with nothing. That means everything in between the time you sucked your first breath of life and the time that the last breath of life leaves you, everything in between is borrowed from God. Everything. You see, you brought nothing in, you can take nothing out. Job put it this way in Job 1:21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, here's the good thing about serving God and realize that everything you have is borrowed. If God decides to take it, then you shouldn't get bent out of order. Okay, God wanted it. Okay, well, I guess I'll have that car no more. Right? Oh, there goes my job. Oh, okay, I guess God wanted my job. He must have something better for me out there. You see, we will give an account of our life and our stewardship one day. Here's the fourth life lesson I want you to look at. Look in verse 5 again. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water." Here's the fourth life lesson. Sometimes in your life, you will lose your edge and your effectiveness. Boy, I wish I could stay on topside all the time, don't you? Don't you wish you could just stay on the mountaintop all the time and never had to go down the valley and lose the edge and lose your effectiveness? But folks, let me tell you something. For most people, that is not a reality. You're going to face times in your life where you're going to lose your edge. And you're going to lose your effectiveness. But listen to me, that doesn't mean that you quit God. That doesn't mean you say, "Well, there goes the axe head." Listen, here's what most of us, "My axe head's gone." And take that axe head. You ever seen guys? We went out to a Rangers game, I guess it was last year. And the guy struck out. I saw it with my own eye. He took the bat and on his knee and broke the bat. Let me tell you something, folks. That takes a little mite, and I bet his knee was sore the next day. Don't do that. Don't take your life and so you say, "Well, I've lost my edge. I've lost my effectiveness. I'm a nobody now. No, God doesn't care about me. I'm just going to take my life and break it." Don't do that. Because the thing about it is, listen, one day the unexpected will become the unspeakable. Because you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know how God's going to use you. And the reason I know He wants to is because you're here today. You're breathing today. You see, sometimes in life you're going to lose your edge and your effectiveness. Sometimes it's due to unexpected circumstances out of your control. Anybody ever had unexpected circumstances come in your life that were out of your control? That caused you maybe some grief? Maybe the axe head came off, fell in the water, you couldn't find it, you didn't know your way, and all of a sudden it seemed like your life came to an absolute halt. You see, sometimes unexpected circumstances out of your control cause it. Sometimes it's just everyday cares and demands on your time. You see, I have a sneaky suspicion that one of two things happened to this axe head. I think first one is this, that I think that axe head had been used before, don't you? I think somebody had been chopping wood with that axe head before. And I think that somewhere along the line, it had been hit and hit and hit and hit till the wedge loosened up in that thing. And I think that just because of the everyday cares and the everyday usage of it may have caused that axe head to come off. Think about the grind of your life every day, constantly. Over and over and over, you have to face the devil. You have to face sin. You have to face the world. You have to face all of these things. And every day, your axe is being hit and hit and hit. And pretty soon, it's going to lose its edge if you don't sharpen it up. You see, in this case, either the usage over and over and over again caused it to fly off, or it could have been carelessness. It could have been the guy never inspected it before he used it. It could have been that he never checked it out, make sure the wedge was right, make sure the head was on there tight. You see, it's kind of like a lot of us. A lot of us, we make decisions, we never check with God. We do things that we never check. We never check and say, "Lord, would you have me do this or that?" We just go out and next thing we know, we lose the axe head, we lose the edge and the effectiveness, and then we go to God and say, "What happened? He said, well, did you ever think about checking the wedge? Did you ever think about checking the security of it? You see, what I'm saying today is sometimes in life you're going to lose your edge and your effectiveness. Keep in mind that this young prophet, he was not out doing wrong. He was doing right. And the axe head still came off. You see, we think that the only time that our life's going to go into shambles or our life gets off course is only when we're doing wrong. I'm here to tell you, my friend, this guy was doing right. And the axe still hit. The axe head still came off. You see, he wasn't being punished by God for anything that he did bad. Listen, folks, let me help you to understand something here. Every time something wrong goes on in your life, it doesn't mean God's punishing you for anything. Have you ever thought about that you may have made a decision that caused this to happen? Don't blame God for something you did. Don't blame God for a decision you made and you now are suffering the consequences for it. Sometimes it's not God that's involved. Sometimes it's just my decisions that caused it. And by the way, stop giving the devil so much credit too. I want to ask you, has the axe head fallen off of your life? Have you lost your edge in your Christianity? Have you lost your effectiveness? And do you feel absolutely helpless this morning, kind of like this young preacher did? What, by the way, what good's an axe handle without an axe head? What if he had said, you know what? Oh, well, I'm just going to go on without an axe head. And he'd have just taken the handle and just started beating that wood. You know what? People were to walk by and said, But listen, what's the difference in him doing that and us trying to serve God in the flesh? All you're doing is taking an axe handle and trying to serve God with no edge. He said, that's not the way it's designed. An axe has to have an axe head because the purpose of an axe is to cut things with. Not to beat a tree with a handle. Have you lost your edge? Are you standing today holding only the axe handle? No head? You see, this young prophet probably thought that he would never get his edge back again. Once he saw that axe head go whoop, he probably thought, oh, I'm done. Let me tell you something. Just because you lose your edge and your effectiveness doesn't mean you're done. It just means, you know what? You need to go to the right source and see if God will give it back to you. And so the preacher says, Master! I lost the axe head. It was barred. Where is it? Right there. He takes a stick and throws it in. And listen, here's the last thing. Look at verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? You know, I've found out in my Christian life, one of the things that's helped me the most when I got derailed for God is to go back to the place where I derailed and find out what caused me to get off track. Go back to that spot. Go back to that place. Go back and say, Lord, what happened? How did I get off? How did I derail? How did I get off here? And almost without exception, God said, this is what happened on this day at this time because of this decision. This is why you jumped track on me. And I found if I'll go back to that place and begin from there and go forward, God seems to move in a wonderful way. Look what he says. And the man of God says, where fell it? And he showed him the place and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Not float. Swim. Swim tells me there was motion to it. It didn't just come and float like a cork. No, it swam. It moved. Anytime, if you've ever lost an axe head, if you ever lost the head, I've lost the head of a hammer. I've never lost an axe head, but I've lost the head of a hammer before. That's nice. Particularly when you hear a crack. Now you've got a twofold problem, right? No hammer, and you just busted somebody's windshield. But the thing, what I'm saying is that here's a situation to where the iron was in motion. It began to swim. Here's the fifth life principle, and I'm done. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Now, folks, I'm not real smart. I was born in Mississippi. I'm not real smart, but I tell you this. Iron don't swim. Right? Normally, when iron hits the water, you know where it goes? To the bottom. I don't know about you. I've never seen iron swim. Never in my life. But when God's involved, I don't care what it is, it can swim. I don't care if it's an axe head that swims on the top of the water or a backslidden preacher swallowed by a whale. God, everything with God is impossible. You see, it seemed that all was lost to this young man. I'm sure he thought, well, I'm done. Axe head fell off. What can I do? I can't do it myself. I can't retrieve it myself. All seemed lost. His purpose seemed dashed in pieces. Oh, but this is where the unexpected becomes the unspeakable. You see, the good thing about it is he went to the right source to get it back. If you're here this morning, you're looking for joy, you're looking for happiness, you're looking for a change, and you've been looking in all these other places, can I invite you to check Jesus out this morning? Go to the right place. If you need salvation, go to the right source. The right source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he knew that that iron sinks to the bottom. And you know what? Once it gets there, gravity holds it there. You know what's holding you today in your place? Sin. Sin holds you there. And it keeps you there unless there's divine intervention. And then things can change totally in your life. You see, that young man knew, what's the use? I can't try. The iron's at the bottom and iron doesn't swim. Gravity's holding it there. And he realized he couldn't do anything himself to correct the problem. And may I say this morning to you, if you're away from God or you know not Christ, you can't do anything to correct the problem. All you have to do is go to the right source and let him correct the problem that's in you. You see, he went to the right source for help. Oh, listen. He knew the place where the axe head fell. He knew exactly what it was. You know, most of us in here, when things go sour in our life, we know exactly why they did. Every one of us, we know. We know exactly what it was. If you've ever been driving down the road and run off and run into a ditch and got stuck while you were asleep, you know exactly why you're in the ditch, right? Because all of a sudden you boom, 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 and you woke up. I'm stuck, ditch, people yelling, are you okay? I'm all right. What happened? I fell asleep. You know exactly why you ended up in the ditch, right? Listen, folks, don't fool yourself. You know why you're in the condition you're in this morning. You know exactly why you're there. God says, listen, you want the axe head to swim? You want the axe head replaced in your life? Have you lost your edge and your effectiveness? Go to the right source. Hey, he saw the grace of God directed toward him. You know what it took for the iron to swim? Divine intervention. You know what it's going to take to save your soul? Divine intervention. You know what it took for that iron head, for that iron to swim? It took the intervention of the man of God. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take the intervention of not only divine intervention, it's going to take you desiring and wanting it. That young preacher wanted that axe head back really bad. You see, it is going to have to be divine intervention. Hey, it was going to have to defy the laws of gravity for it to come to the surface, right? It had to swim, listen now, upward toward the stick. Now, when you get to preach this, you can preach it however you want. But I just wonder, when the preacher broke that stick off, a piece of wood, and he cast it and it was floating, wood floats, the axe head is down, the axe head's looking up to the wood. Can I say this to you? Remember that Jesus Christ was lifted up. And the reason he was lifted up was so that you could see. And maybe you feel that that's where you are in your life, that you're on the bottom of the river and you're stuck and it feels like sin can't, you can't cut yourself loose. But can I say this morning to you, look up to the cross of Christ. Look up to Jesus this morning. He's got the answers today. You can be recovered. You can be recovered. Hey, he had to be taken up in order for purpose, for the purpose to be restored. That axe head had to come up this morning. Listen, if your things are going to change, folks, listen to me. You're going to have to get up and move. You cannot stay at the bottom of the river. You cannot stay sunk down into the silt of the river. Listen, when the invitation is given, you're going to have to move. You're going to have to make a choice this morning. You see, in order for you to take up, in order for you to do the things that God has for you, you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to take up You're seated. And you're going to have to go forward. You're going to have to look up. You see, this young prophet was faced with a dilemma in his life, just like many of you here today are faced with a dilemma. Maybe some unexpected circumstances has loosened your axe head so that it's caused you to sink to the bottom. Maybe the cares of life, maybe just the everyday grind and the demands on your time have caused you to lose your edge and effectiveness. Maybe carelessness due to your own decisions and lack of discernment has plunged you to the bottom of life. Let me say in conclusion this. Today, God wants to do the unexpected in your life. You say, oh, would He let the axe head swim for me? Would He allow it to be restored to my life? Would God give me my edge back and my effectiveness back? Listen to you, I'm here to tell you today, God is no respecter of persons. He loved that young preacher as much as He loves you this morning. Maybe your life sunk down in the silt, in the bottom of life. I'm here to tell you, God's not done with you. You know what He wants to do with you? He wants the unexpected to become the unspeakable this morning. He wants to do something unexpected in your life. Some of you are here this morning, you didn't even make plans to come to church. You just woke up, that still small voice said, you know what, you need to get dressed and go to church. You didn't even know where you were going. You just drove by here and came in. God's about to do something very unexpected in your life because He sent you here on purpose. You want the axe head? You want the effectiveness back? You want the edge back? You're going to have to move, because did you notice the preacher, when the axe head swam, he had to reach down and get it. And that's what you're going to do this morning. You're going to have to reach down and get it and take it to yourself. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder how many this morning could say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I've been saved by the blood of Christ. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. You'd say, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't you slip your hand way up high and say, I'm not ashamed of it, preacher. I'm a born-again child of God, and I'm not ashamed of it. You'll lift your hand up as a testimony. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down, though. Almost without exception, every hand was raised this morning. But I saw one or two that could not raise their hand. I don't want you to leave this morning without knowing Jesus. God sent you here on purpose. Maybe your life is like that axe handle without the edge. Maybe you think that your life is useless now because you've lost the edge and there's no effectiveness there. You think that you're worthless in the sight of God. I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of value in your life. How many that could not raise your hand just a moment ago would raise it now and let me pray for you? You say, preacher, I'll be honest with you today in church. I don't know for sure if I died, I'm going to heaven. I don't know that. I have a lot of doubt. I've questioned this multiple times in my life, preacher. And you'd at least let me pray for you. How many are like that and say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, I don't know for sure if I died, I'm going to heaven. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Just slip it up. Slip it up so I can see it. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who will join this one? Say, that's me. That's me. Slip it up. Let me pray for you. Hey, listen, we're in church. Let's be honest in church. Be honest with yourself. Anybody else will join this one? God bless you. There's two. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. I've never had a born-again experience with Christ. Hey, are you going to reach down and take up the axe head this morning? God's provided the answer for you. Let the unexpected this morning happen in your life. Anybody else will join these two? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you're already saved. You're already a born-again believer. And you say, but preacher, after I got saved, I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I just never have taken that step of faith in my life. I need to obey God in believer's baptism. Pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right, God bless you. Anybody will join this one, this two, three? Anybody will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved. I've been born into the family of God, but never been baptized according to the Scriptures. Pray for me. Anybody will join these three? Slip it up. Let me look one more time. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Then let me ask you one more time or one more thing. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God, but I feel like I've lost my edge. I feel like I've lost the edge of my Christianity, and it's affected my family. Maybe it's affected your job, but most of all, maybe it's affected your personal walk with God. You say, I feel like I've lost my edge and my effectiveness. I need revival. I need the axe head replaced. Preacher, would you please pray for me? I need to regain my edge in my service for Christ. Be honest and say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip it up high so I can see. All right? All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer is simply this morning. Have your way in this invitation. Lord, I have no control over what you do in the hearts and lives of people. That's the reason I ask you, Father, that you take control. That you do what is necessary to convict hearts. Those that need to be saved, there were two or three, that they would come today, that they might know Christ. That, Father, that today they would not leave this place without having their life put back together. That their life be joined with the axe head and it be reunited today and they have some effectiveness and they have purpose in life. I pray that that would happen. Some need to be baptized. A couple that raised their hand. I pray that today would be that day. Oh, Father, so many times we convince ourselves of salvation. We convince ourselves that we're right with God. And yet our life does not measure up to the things of God or to the Word of God. Oh, would you do what's necessary in our heart and our life this morning? And then for those that said they were believers and that they had kind of lost the edge and they'd lost the effectiveness in their life, let today be the day of change. Let today be the day that they come and reunite with you, Father, and re-up in their Christianity and their service for Christ. And we'll give you all the glory and the praise for what you will do in this invitation this morning. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray it. Now, with the heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. I'm going to ask our vocalist to begin to sing. And as he does, would you come? Hey, listen, this is your opportunity. Why would you come to church, raise your hand, and the Spirit of God speak, and you not move? Hey, the axe head's swimming this morning. It's swimming by you. Are you going to let it go past you? Or are you going to reach down and take it up to yourself like this young preacher did? Some of you had raised your hand, said you needed to be saved. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity to come. Oh, we don't want you to leave today without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to take that chance with your soul? Are you willing to take that chance with your life that you're going to have another day, another hour to face the Lord? Oh, don't take a chance this morning. Come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. That's what this invitation's all about. It's an invitation from God Almighty to you this morning. He's extended.